VFN-TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're coming to you. I'm Greg Lancaster, and I just want to start off right off the bat to let you know that, you know, the Jordanian Air Force is attacking ISIS. Why are they attacking ISIS? Because they burned one of their pilots alive yesterday as we begin to tell you what is taking place in the world. We have to wake up to what's going on. 55 are reported dead, according to Fox News, of ISIS soldiers that are there. Actually, one of them has a name called the Prince of Nineveh that was killed by the Jordanian Air Force, Fox News is reporting. But understand this, that this has been a whole strategy to be able to pull Jordan into this battle. Today we're going to be talking about, you know, what does this mean in the context of the Middle East and Jordan. Understand, over and over again, there's a chant going on in the Middle East that says they want to be able to push Israel into the sea. They want to be able to destroy Israel. And Jordan is the only piece of land, if you would, between all of that mindset and trying to do this to Israel. Obviously, they're not going to succeed in it, but we have to stand up and realize this is more than just this or that or a simple little response to what's going on. Jordan had two particular terrorist reports are that they had them already tried. They're ready. They're serving a death sentence already. And their response to that Jordanian pilot, and that's the reason why we show that as part of VFN TV, to let you know this has really happened. This is a real thing. This is not the movies. This is real human life being taken and tragedies taking place in society today. And I just want you to know that we need to stay in tune with God and what's happening with Israel. And we have so much more to bring to you in just a moment. First, John, talk to us, man.
Discussing, and we're excited about all that we're going to be sharing. We're going to be talking about the emerging church in China. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are happening in North Texas. You don't want to miss this, because an Islamic Sharia tribunal is being set up in Irving, Texas. And we're also going to be talking about how Pastor Saeed, the Iranian pastor who was jailed in Iran 2.5 years, sent a special thanks to President Obama. We have so much to share with you. We don't want you to miss it. Stay tuned, and we're excited that you're with us here today.
You know, some of the things also we're going to be talking about, you know, John, today is, you know, what is the context? What does this mean? How do we need to respond? And I know that, you know, as we talk about the word of the Lord, when he says in Ezekiel 33, he says, you know, a storm is being fashioned. Yeah. And it's escalating right now. And we're looking at, when you think about this, that, you know, this is the last 2 years of this current leadership that kind of had a strategy in regards to how, these things are organized and strategized, a new vision, a fundamental transformation for America and the world. And, you know, everybody has their ideas. But the question is, what is God's idea for America? Right. What is God's idea, you know, for Israel? What's God's idea for the world? And our Lord is a God who wants to be able to redeem. He wants to be able to bring freedom. He wants to set the captive free. He doesn't want to put people in captivity. He doesn't want to oppress people. Mm. That's not the God that we serve. So I just want to encourage you today, as we are talking about these events that are happening right now, you know, as we're speaking to you, that we need to respond. There is a significant, we talked about, you know, a potential land grab coming up. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick was talking about that in regards to, you know, is this the, you know, 7 months to bury the body, 7 years to be able to destroy the weapons that was talked about in the Word of God, talking about that prophetic somebody's going to try to come against Israel, and God's going to respond, and his mighty hand's going to move. I mean, God's going to stand for Israel. The question is, you know, are we going to stand for Israel? Mm-hmm. And we have so much we want to be able to talk to you about. And the other is this, we're going to be talking about today, that, you know, the millennials, you know, there was a survey that was done by FusionNet. And it says that like 77%, John, 77% of millennials, they cannot name one of their own state's senators. And there's only two of them, you know. But it says that 93% of these, 93% of them are going to vote in the presidential election coming up. And it's like, you don't even know. It's only two. I mean, how hard is it to know two? But then I got to think about this. I got to think about, you know, is it really the millennials' fault, or is it our school system? You know, is it the parents of those millennials? Is it, I mean, even think about this. Even God himself said, how would they know about my son unless someone tells them? So he didn't even throw that obligation onto the individual. He says, you're going to have to go tell that individual. So I'm really thinking, you know, we need to be able to challenge our representative government and say, you know, you need to make yourself known. You know, you need to make yourself known and become, you know, available to the people who you represent. And so we're going to be talking more about this. But first, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In high school, if other vendors are setting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions. And Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today. And it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says. And operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, the world is in chaos. It's in flux right now. Mm-hmm. And it's looking for a world leader. Chuck Pierce, we talked about this before. Zion Ministries out of Corinth, Texas, he prophesied some time back that the reason why the world is stuck in a leadership just quagmire, basically, is because the church is stuck in its leadership. It won't move into what God wants in leadership. And like the world won't respond unless the church responds and moves into its leadership. And you think, well, what is that? Well, it's definitely not the world's form of leadership.
Right.
And it's like the world is just crying out for leadership. The world is saying, you know, well, somebody lead us. You know, my original mindsets years ago was, you know, let's just do it.
Right.
And the truth is God designed us as human beings that we're going to have, you know, leaders. He begins to just pour out a vision into a leader. And he says, you know, just listen to this leader, these leaders, and he begins to lead his people. And that is so important because sometimes we're just waiting for somebody, you know, we just assume everybody's going to do it. But the truth is, you know, we got to realize the world is in chaos right now. There was a reason why, and some of the things prophetically that the Lord's been laying on my heart and been hearing is that notice that the first thing that's happened is, and our leadership in our country appears to be knowingly or unknowingly, I'm not saying anything that's knowingly, but this whole strategy going on that they first went after the dictators in different countries, and now it's like they're going after the kings.
The kings, yeah.
And what do you say? Well, what does that mean? Well, if we're born, you know, after, you know, after World War I, then you start thinking about, we didn't know, if you go back and look, and we've shown this before, and you can find on the VFN Torch, that the Middle East did not look like that.
No.
I mean, you had the Ottoman Empire, you had these different, you know, lands that were there, these countries, and then after World War I, you had the PICO,
Sykes-Picot.
The Sykes-Picot agreement, where they divided it all up. You know, Great Britain divided it all up, and that's how we have Iraq, Iran. We have, you know, Saudi Arabia and Egypt, I believe, and all those and it's Turkey. And so when you see that, you know, we got to realize life has been going on longer than our life has been going on. There's a history here. And so when you hear people say they want a caliphate or they want the Levant, they're talking about all those lands that they were promised in World War One, because the Sykes-Picot promised them that they would actually get their own, they would get a Levant. Mm-hmm. But what they did with the Sykes-Picot, they just said, no, whatever how they did it, they didn't give them what they want. And it's like this 100-year plan went into play. It's almost a 100-year plan that we're going to get our caliphate. We're going to get this Levant area. And Levant area includes, by the way, Israel.
The Levant is the actual L in ISIL.
Yeah, yes. And so, you know, I know some children who want, you know, candy and ice cream and all. I mean, just because you want, a lot of times people think cause somebody says they want it, it's going to happen. But at least we can understand what people want. You think about a general, the generals that fought in Afghanistan, when they were being interviewed on C-SPAN, they were talking about how, you know, they began just to tell, they just assumed they knew what people wanted.
Right.
And so they went there to fight for the cause of the Afghanistan people. And they kept on losing and the surges and all that kind of stuff. And finally, they just said, you know, they realized we just got to go talk to the people and find out why they're fighting. Why are they doing what they're doing? And it looks, you know, based on what my understanding of what's going on, and, you know, I'm but based on, you know, what I'm hearing and what I'm understanding, they're fighting for the Levant. They want a caliphate. They want, you know, they want, and you think about, according to Kamal Saleem, when you look at somebody who is just sold out radical Islamists, they believe that they can set themselves in place of God, which would be a caliphate, you know, leader, and their God. And, that it's a political, it's about 80% political and 20% religious, because it's about government. Mm-hmm. But you think about the Crusaders and what took place, you know, they misunderstood, you know, God's intention during their day. And when they did do that, they began to try to rule and take over and send out soldiers, this kind of thing. And as I was talking to a friend of mine in Hong Kong, Yulong, he was talking about how China was concerned about the church, because when they see the church, they think about the Catholic Church. And how during the Crusaders and what they did, and they have their own country and, you know, their own leadership.
Establish a kingdom.
Kingdom.
Right.
And so they thought that that means for the church to come in, that means the Catholic Church would set up their kingdom inside there, versus really it's the kingdom of God is within the hearts of men. But right now, some of our understandings of what has been going on is that they've been wanting to bring the king of Jordan, and hopefully have the image. I asked last night for, hopefully Steve's got that image of King Jordan in the White House. Could y'all see if he's got that image of King Jordan in the White House there? King Jordan was visiting President Obama in the White House, and you remember that he had his back turned to King of Jordan. He had his arms crossed, and he was at this frown, you know, away from me, thinking like, that's a king, you know? Right. Why would we have that mindset towards a king?
Right.
And then we're looking at these different things taking place, and it's like, there is a war going on. A world war going on for hegemony, and it's like a chess game, and lives are being lost. People are being burned alive. People are being beheaded. It is just crazy, some things that are going on
right
now. And
not to mention that Russia is just sitting right out there, and they're planning something. I mean, you can actually see it when you look at the oil prices and what's happening, and most of their economy is all based upon oil, and it has to sell at least at $100 a barrel. It's nowhere near that.
Right.
And so how long is Russia going to be able to stay, you know, take care of their country and do the things they have to do? They're strategically planning things. I mean, we don't have an insight, but you can see this thing unfolding.
And it's important to understand that when you think about prophetically, you're talking about Gog and Magog when you're reading the Word of God, you know, King of Rush, the Prince of Rush, that's Russia coming down. And there is a strategy and a plan to be able to come down into, you know, Israel from the north, and they've partnered with Syria. That's why that supposedly, you know, reports are that we didn't go into Syria, because Russia said don't go into Syria because our bases are there. That's why
the Arab League was turned over to.
You have that. Then you have Iran. When Iran was, they're getting their nuclear power plant things from from Russia, reports are. Some of the weapons that came into Gaza came from Russia. You know, it was written on there. But also, when the United Arab League got together, and I would say there's how many nations?
About 22 nations.
How many Muslims?
Most of them are all Muslims.
I know that. But how many? It was half a million, or it was just many, many, many. But 21 so nations were involved. Think about nations involved in the United Arab League. And so they came over, you know, based on the reports of Fox News, we're watching this report, and they said, listen, if you'll go in and deal with Assad in Syria, we will pay for the war. It won't cost you a dime. Instead of us going there to take care of this thing, the president passes the football off to Prime Minister Putin.
Right.
President Putin. I mean, he gives the entire leadership of the Arab League and this whole Syrian crisis over to Putin.
You remember right prior to that, I mean, the president was adamant about drawing this red line that these chemical weapons were used on the people from Assad, the president of Syria, that he was going to go in there. And, I mean, we had an aircraft right in the sea, and all of a sudden it was stopped. And that's when he turned everything over.
Yeah, but and then you just can't help but reflect back to the moments when he was there with he was with the president at that time of Russia, and told him on mic, you know, heard this, that he said, well, just tell Putin that I'll have more flexibility after the election. And he said, I will transmit this to Vladimir. You know, that's what he said. And it's like, it looks like it got transmitted. And then you think about this, and I wish we had this image to go up, and maybe you can see it, that that when the DNC met, the Democratic National Convention met, and you have the GOP when they met, but when you had the DNC meet, they had a huge image up behind them, and hopefully you can see this. And this is the interesting thing: of all the imagery you could put behind you when you're running for the president of the United States, look at this. They actually put up the Russian Navy. Mm. I mean, this Monotron, look how big it is compared to the stage. That's the Russian Navy, by the way. We might not even know that. That's the Russian Navy.
Wow.
And messages are being sent right off the bat about flexibility, about, you know, all these different things. And now that's a huge message send, by the way. They talk about, you know, one of the men with President Reagan, that he was real expert in setting up shots. He would always go and set the shot up before the president got there. And they really think about that. You know, people really think about
it. These are not done by accident here.
Yeah, people were taking selfies a long time ago before.
Oh, yes. Very strategic.
Politicians and all. But, you know, with that this is serious stuff. And this whole strategy it ultimately appears to be coming, you know, against, you know, God's folks. And when you look at a buffer zone, imagine if a huge hurricane is coming your way and you have this big storm wall between you and the storm, and all of a sudden somebody just removes that storm wall. I mean, the storm surge is going to just destroy you.
Right.
Now imagine Jordan being that storm wall. I mean, they're trying to take down Jordan. And these countries are not that big when you think about that.
And you look at what's happening, you know, the president – There's all this controversy that you might be hearing right now about why the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, invited the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to come speak to Congress because it's out of protocol. My question is, how come our only ally in the Middle East, we should be consulting them, inviting them, Israel, to the White House, speaking on their behalf, not criticizing the House for inviting the Prime Minister?
Unless they're not your ally. You know, I mean, for example, I've seen people before that they have two different allies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, just because somebody's your friend doesn't mean that they're their friend.
Right.
And when you saw, remember, you could go back and listen to one of our programs. We're so excited about the president's speech, President Obama's speech in Israel, because he went there to the young folks, and he's just this great speech, and we're listening to it live. We're like, yes, this is wonderful. Oh, I'm just excited about this. This is great. But then all of a sudden, at the last 25% of the speech or so, estimatedly wise, all of a sudden he's like, the old guard basically is going, and you need to go tell them this is how it's going to be. You're going to be the ones. And it's like, oh my goodness, you just raised up a rebellion in Israel against your fathers.
Yeah.
and take it to the United Nations. That's what he told them. This matter needs to be taken to the United Nations. And if you don't know about it, and we talked about it in a previous program, this unstoppable voting bloc created by the Arab nations, mind you, not radical Islamists, not all the Arab nations organized in the United Nations a majority voting bloc that always comes against Israel. And so people can't say, well, that's just radical Islam. That's the misinterpretation of the Quran. What about the United Nations?
Yeah.
I mean, what about the United Nations when this whole, all these ratifications against
these resolutions
against Israel over and over and over and over and over again, and it's the reason why that happens is because they have this particular voting bloc there that can get pretty much what they want. So what does this mean? When we come back from this break in a moment, we're going to talk about, you know, what does this mean prophetically? Because, you know, this is the news. This is what's going on. And we talked about in a previous program, you got to catch it if you didn't, that some of the things that God is saying and God shows us things so we can pray that they won't happen or pray that they will happen. If it's good, we pray, God, that it would happen. If it's harm to anyone, we pray, God, that you would prevent this, that you would forgive.
Right.
But the things that he's showing us is that it's pretty tragic. Some of the things that we're seeing right now in the Middle East, as we talked about on the previous program, when this pilot, you know, ISIS is beheading fathers in front of their wives and their children and killing the children in front of the wives. And then they're taking the women, taking some women and into forcing them to be their wives, you know, and automatically they consider that lady, you know, a Muslim because he married her. And they're, you know, sex slavery.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's this man that killed your husband in front of you, killed your children, and now is raping you on a regular basis and calling you his wife. I mean, if all the thing, I just said, I encourage you, ladies of America, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? I mean, think about this. Your sisters in the world are being persecuted. They're being oppressed. And hopefully, you know, a Jennifer Salim, you know, will come on because she's able, she has a ministry in speaking to ladies who have been oppressed by Islam, and it's come out of that, which is Kamal's wife.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about what's happening in North Texas in this program, where the Islamic Sharia Tribunal is actually set up in North Texas. It's exactly what you're talking about. All these women are just being taken advantage, and they've come here to get rights, and now their rights are being violated.
Wow. In North Texas, mind you. I mean, think about that. North Texas. And we talked about that before. There's a strategy going on to bind the strong state. And we need to pray for Texas. We need to pray for the governor, pray for the Congress, state Congress right there. And they always say, don't mess with Texas.
Don't mess with Texas.
But I know this, listen, that this thing prophetically, when we get back from this break, we want to talk about what does this mean prophetically? Because some things are happening at this moment that it seems like a suddenly is going to take place. We're in the last part of four blood moons. We're going into the Shemitah year. We're right in it now.
Yeah.
And this four blood moons begins in tears, but it ends in deliverance. And we're looking at great tears on the face of the earth. We're looking at Israel, you know, being threatened. We're looking at great potential danger to the whole world. And when the nations around Israel become a trembling cup, prophetically, that says these are times that suddenly our Lord could return.
Mm.
You know, our Lord could return, and all of a sudden, this instant moment, you know, you think about that. But we'll talk more about this when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean,
right.
is there something, and we prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even
tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Sure, yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and it's not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lady, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this, including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared? So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, what does all this mean? What does all this mean in regards to what we're talking about? We don't want to create any fears or anything like that. We just want to say this is what's taking place. And we've been able to get away with not being courageous.
Right.
You know, we've been able to get away with, you know, not just allowing somebody else to fight our battles, even to the point that we're watching soldiers that have given their life and their limb and they've done great things for our nation be ridiculed and be made to look bad for laying down their life limb. Their futures, they lay down their life to protect us, and their families have lost loved ones. And we've been so secure as a nation that even those that protect us in our security, that we've actually belittled them and hadn't stood up for them in regards to the VA and what's taking place. You know, things are beginning to turn in that, which is great. We appreciate Congressman Jeff Miller for, you know, leading that. But it's like, you know, we're going to have to, as the church, we're going to have to, you know, God gives us, he gives us a brand new heart when you're born again. But you got to grow your own backbone. I mean, God's not going to give you a backbone. He just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And that happens when you step out and you trust him. And he says, listen, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go tell them about me. Go be fruitful in the midst. Go let your light shine. Go do good deeds and let your good deeds be shown so that he gets glory. And it's like everybody's hiding out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why is everybody hiding out?
Scared.
We've got to come out. We've got to begin to say, you know what? You know, we want to stand up for God and country in that order, and we want to stand up for Israel. You know, the history of America, you'd be really surprised. It was Israel, it was the Jews that helped fund the American Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
Ferdinand was throwing the Jews outside of his nation, and they needed a place to go to. And guess what? You know, we had a place to go to. They were the place that they could go to, and they helped to fund, helped to pay for the American Revolution. I mean, it's very significant how America stands with Israel. It's not like, okay, we cannot stand with Israel and not stand with the Jews and still stay the America, one nation under God.
That's not going to happen.
Obviously, the land's not going to disappear, but our form of government and freedom would disappear in doing that. But we can stand up. But it took men of courage. It took minute men and people that were willing to you know, farm in the day. But of all of a sudden, they had to stand up and say, listen, you can't harm this person. You can't do this. But so many people, John, they just sit silently by while people are getting hurt. And one person does an act of heroism, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and then they complain about those that are actually standing forward and doing something.
Right. Or the ones that do, they just, you know, they, you know, which is maybe rightfully so, they just, you know, they keep somebody from falling in the subway in the city, and they're, you know, talked about for at least 48-hour news cycle.
Right.
And but everybody looks at that's like, wow. And the thing is, like, but you could have saved the lady. You could have saved the baby. You could have stood up. You could have said what was right. And I think about, you know, Dr. King, he says, really true evil is when good men say nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it's just time for us to stand up and go, and we're all flawed people. I mean, we're all flawed people. Mm-hmm. But if you serve Christ, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, there's a grace in your life to stand up and let people know that you're flawed. I mean, don't sit here and just be self-righteous.
Right.
But no, it's okay to stand up for your country. It's okay to stand up for God. It's okay to stand up for Israel. It's okay to speak your mind. The First Amendment is still here. I mean, even in France, you know, with all the socialism going on, they're still fighting for the freedom of speech in France. Let's don't give it up. And this is the thing that we're seeing is that people are allowing a spirit of fear to come over them, and that's what causes the First Amendment to leave their life.
Right.
They want to be politically correct. They want to be accepted by everybody. You know, we're not God loves all the people in all the different political parties. So Jesus is not political.
Not left wing.
He's
or
not
right
political.
Wing.
Although we did have somebody write to us and said, "Don't you know this is God's party?" And I don't say who it was. And it's like, what are you doing? You know,
God
the church is not political. You know, God loves, you know, all the people. You know, he's not the left wing. He's not right wing. He's for the whole bird. You know, and just want to encourage you. Say we got to quit letting the enemy divide us. This is what Jesus said. This is the creator of the universe. What he said, this, his son said, any nation divided against itself will fall. So we're going to have to be united.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what are we going to be united around? Are we going to be united around an idea or some strong leader, which means tyrannical leadership? Or are we going to be related around the idea of America, the God of America, the original tent of America? And when I think about, you know, the United States Constitution, and if 81% of Christians don't pick up their Bible, I would assume that they definitely don't pick up the Constitution. But when
I think that's a good assumption.
I think that's
probably pretty good.
I would think so. But you have to understand when you're hearing things on your news, they say, well, Article 3. According to Article 4, according to Article, what they're talking about? They're talking about the Constitution of the United States. They're saying the only reason Washington exists, the reason why your government exists is because it's in the Constitution. The reason why we can have a president is because it's in the Constitution. And he says in the preamble of the Constitution, you know, it is, you know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union and establish justice, you know, all the awesome parts of our country, that it's a government by the people and for the people. And so I think we need to begin to center around God and not the present day country, but the original intent God had for this country, and not going back to past sins of our country now. That was wrong, but to look forward, God, what is your future for this nation? What do you want for this nation? And our God that we serve, I'm telling you, he's so powerful, he's so mighty, and he's about to do something so awesome that if he told you, you wouldn't even believe it.
Mm.
But in the context of that, there's going to be a great loss of life from the things the Lord has shown me. There's going to be a great tragedy. And when we see a great loss of life, we begin to cry and say, dear God, there would be great salvation if 10 lives were lost. Begin to ask God, I ask for 1,000 souls for every one of those men lost.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the enemy will quit messing with the human life when that starts taking place. And so we have to begin to say, you know what? Even if it cost me my liberty, even if it cost me, you know, my season that I could have done everything I wanted to do, that I dedicated it to the Lord, and I dedicated it to the next generation. I mean, that's the people that lived before us. That's the people that lived before us. The reason why we're able to be here because they laid down their life. And so we got to begin to say, you know, what does the Constitution say? You know, as a law enforcement officer, you know, It was the Constitution that restrained me as a lawful. It was the Constitution that when I would go to court and somebody that I had to arrest because somebody said they did a particular crime, it was the Constitution, the state, and the U.S. Constitution that orchestrated that whole courtroom to make sure that you as an American citizen have those rights. I mean, you have the right to a jury. You have a right to a speedy trial. You have a right to not incriminate yourself. Those are articles inside the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. And so, you know, what do we need to do? How do we unite? And I just, you know, we just want to pray over this government mountain. Just ask God to just his kingdom to come into the government of America. If you want to think about how you can begin to participate, say, dear God, that your kingdom would come into the government of America. Not Washington, D.C., which that would be great too, but the whole government, because the government of America is you. It's we, the people.
Yeah.
And we begin to understand that. Then we take responsibility for it. We don't just point to 530 people in Washington, D.C. It's all there is. Mm-hmm. We point to the 300 million people in America that says we've got to, if we don't like the present day, you know, choices, then it's our choice. We have to make different choices.
I like what the governor of Louisiana just did, Bobby Jindal, when he just participated in a call to turning America back to God.
Right.
And those are the type of elected officials that we want to have in office that represent, you know, our values. And it's like, we need God. We can't do this on our own. We need to cry out to the Lord. And I just thought that was so powerful what he did. And I'm hoping and believing that more governors will step up to the plate and say, that's what we're going to do in our state.
Speaking of that, I did write to our governor, the governor of the state of Florida,
Governor Rick Scott,
and I asked very specifically. I said, hey, your friend, you know, Governor Bobby Jindal, this is what just happened. We would love it for you, Governor Scott, to stand up on a platform in front of all of, and I know, he's a believer. I believe he would do it. But I've already wrote to him and said, hey, and I'm asking you now right here on, you know, television, you know, that you would stand up, Governor Scott, and join arms with Louisiana, and I know that Alabama's governor, I'm sure, would do it as well. Mm-hmm. And just stand up and just ask God for it to open up the heavens, to pour out revival, and to redeem, you know, America. Think about that. So we just want to challenge you and just say, you know, Governor, would you stand up and just publicly join your faith with Governor Jindal? And I don't know Governor of Alabama, but I just feel like Alabama would be strong in the context of that. And listen, God hears these things. I was just, you know, Jack Hollis, you know, was with us just recently.
Yes.
I'll be with him coming this weekend. And he said, and I believe it too, that authority parallels what you have in the natural and the spiritual. So if God, for example, puts you in a place of a king or allows you to be a governor or a president or a senator or a congressman or a sheriff or a chief or police or something like that, that you have this authority also to speak things out. And as the governor of all 50 states, I want to just challenge the governors of all 50 states, begin to say, you know what, God, you know, that we want you in America. Ooh. We want revival in America. You know what God will do? God will respond to that. That's just 50 individuals. All that is 50 governors to say,
that's it.
We want you, God, in our country. We want you the way you are, God. We don't want to tell you who you are. We want you, God. We want your way in this nation. And we're willing to give up all political power just to have you, because you truly are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, God will respond to that. And so begin to write your congressmen. Begin to write your senators. I know that Congressman Jeff Miller would probably, he would definitely do it. And
Robert Bentley is the governor there in Alabama. And
yeah.
I believe he probably would do it too.
There you go. It's just time for us to, there's an urgency going on right now because our nation weighs in the balance. Our freedom weighs in the balance. And there's people, believe it or not, they just, you know, there's nothing to describe them other than just evil.
Yeah. I mean, according to what Rick Joyner saw, that, you know, civil war potentially could happen in the United States. I mean, We wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
But what if we repent? What if we just cry out and say, God,
forgive
us. We turn back to you. We could prevent all that.
Yeah, and one of the greatest loss of lives that have happened, you know, in America was during the Civil War.
Oh, horrific. I mean,
so many lives, you know, brother falling to brother. And it's just time to wake up. It's just time to wake up. We have to wake up. And God will hear. God takes us into a place that we cannot fix. He takes us into a place we cannot fix so that we'll look up and ask God to fix it. When so, it's not a weak thing to say, you know, God, we can't do this without you. We never could anyway. But now we've come to that place of realization where finally have got our in a position that we got to look up and say, God, you know, we want you. You can bring us out of this. We can do the, you can do this thing, God, and we want you to be the God of our life. We want you to be the Lord of our life, and we want your ways to be our ways. And, you know, I was just abiding this morning and just meditating on, you know, the Word of God and Ezekiel, and it was so encouraging in regards to see God for who He is, that God will actually woo us into a place. He will bring us into a place. He will cleanse us. He will redeem us. He will restore us. He'll cause things to be fruitful again. And you know what? He says, He'll do this. He said, but it's not because of you. He says, it's because of His name. That's the reason why He'll do it. And it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. You know, quite often we can mistake that, hey, because things are going so good and everything's going so great and, you know, it was bad, but all of a sudden now it's good again. We could think, well, I guess everything's fine. And what it is, God could be bringing us to a place of repentance. And so I really believe that we begin to cry, if God, and He is that good, that He would do that to bring us to a place of repentance. And this is what He is saying He's going to do for Israel. That we can say, God, You're that good. You're that merciful. I mean, if You would woo us into this place and bless us to get our attention, to be able to honor Your name, we want to begin to honor Your name. I mean, think about it. He says, I'm going to do all this for Israel because I want, for My name's sake. And so you think about it. That means this. When we personally say, you know what? I'm going to honor God's name in my life. Jesus is Lord everywhere I go. I'm going to talk about, you know, God everywhere I go. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to acknowledge God. I'm going to be grateful to God. I mean, think about that. And this is before God's giving you all these kind things to see if you're going to do it. How much more is this loving God going to respond to you honoring His name? So I want to encourage you. We're fixing to go to break. But what do we do at a time like this? Right there at the brink of breakthrough, when God's about to just break through and be, there's going to be a reprieve in your life, you're going to have the greatest temptation to give in. You're going to have the greatest temptation to just join darkness or go into, make covenants with countries you shouldn't make covenant with, get relationships you shouldn't go, you know, go and take the treasures of the temple and give them to the warring neighbor to be able to make peace, all these different things, instead of saying, you know what, even if you throw me in the fire, even if you throw me in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my God can deliver me from it, but we are not going to honor any other God but God. And guess what? God will be with us through the fire. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So that's what's wrong with those protein bars. You keep putting that soy stuff in there.
I went with, oh, see, we're back on the protein bars.
That's what's wrong with them.
See, I was once told that it was the wrong flavored honey. Now we get on the soy.
Real honey, not the store-bought stuff.
Okay.
It actually comes from bees.
See, we have found out, Chris, that if the label says honey, you got to find out, is it made with real bees?
Just read the label, man. It'll tell you.
Because if they're hired bees, then it's not real honey. We are going to perfect.
If you ever had natural honey in the store-bought, you would know what I'm talking about.
I don't think I've ever had natural honey before.
That's awesome. Very good.
Well, no, like, do you have to get it from, like, a guy?
You generally are going
to
get it from, you know, one of those, like, vegetable places. What do you call them?
A grocery store?
No. On the side of the street. Place.
Oh, you mean like a farmer's market.
Yeah. That's where they get all the natural stuff.
It
doesn't come out of the back of a truck. Somebody actually made it and brought
produced
it.
Produced in a box and shipped.
Right.
Your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I know it's kind of intense today, but you know, you look at Israel and what's taking place, and Israel is a time clock. You know, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And that alone, out of self-interest, should, you know, make you want to really, you know, pay close attention to it. But if you stand with Israel, God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel. You know, that is the truth. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited, our new studios.
Yes.
That, you know, we love Israel, we love the Jews, and our Jewish brothers and sisters out there. And our first act in our new studios was to be able to honor the Pensacola Jewish Federation. You know, Cindy was here.
Cindy Gross, president.
Cindy Gross was here, and that's the first thing we did.
Yes.
In our dedication. And Cindy, we so appreciate it. We're looking forward to you being, you know, here. She'll be here soon. And but in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, this is what the Word of God says. It says, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding people reeling. Hmm. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And you think about, you're looking at this, you know, people are going to want to come in and harm Israel, but God's going to send them all reeling. And you're looking at this Arab League that's been given over, you know, United Arab League of Nations, which is 21 nations,
22
nations, we believe. That is, I don't know what the number is still of what it is, that was just handed over to the Prince of Rush, you know? Mm. You know, either, I mean, you think about Syria right now, you think about Iran, and you think about Russia, and you pretty much say they're all in this, they're all in the same,
together there.
And so here we are at this one moment where this, as we talked about, I believe, in the previous program, that you know, these elections are coming up in March the 17th, mm-hmm. and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is just saying, listen, we got to take this thing to the people because we've got to begin to identify who we are as a people and stand up as our nation, because you have Iran with these nuclear plants that's building on. You have all this hatred going around us. People are, think about this. You think you have termites in your house? They have jihadist termites coming up, ground moles coming up under the ground. I mean, this is of biblical proportions. I mean, look what's going on. They're building concrete tunnels and digging in the ground to come up and kidnap, you know, the Jews in Jerusalem and in Israel. They're firing weapons, you know, coming, you know, out of, you know, Ashkelon was just being rained down with thousands and thousands and thousands of missiles. These tunnels are coming up out of the ground. They're coming up out of the water. And where is the church in all this? Mm. You know, where are we? Because supposedly there's a large number of believers in America that we can stand up and just say, hey, wait a minute.
That's right.
Stop messing with Israel. Thank God for, you know, CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Yes. We stand with CUFI. And we stand with the Jews. And but understand this, but all of America needs to wake up and need to say, because this is why I'm saying this, because, you know, it says Fox News is reporting that dozens of Democratic leaders are talking about skipping Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech in Congress, according to Fox News.
Wow.
And it's like, you cannot snub. I mean, ask President Bill Clinton. You cannot snub.
Ooh.
You can't. Well, I'm not saying anything derogatory about him at all. I'm just saying.
I know what happened.
But yeah, he just, you know, made him stay, didn't let him come into the White House. And it's like, it's not a person. It's Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the apple of God's eye. And we, how we relate to Israel shows how we're relating to God. God has done what he's done with Israel to prove and make, prove his name holy, and it's about him. So to touch Israel in a wrong way is to touch the apple of God's eye in the wrong way. And so here we have this radical jihadist, you know, and realize this unstoppable voting block in the United Nations, Islamic, Muslim voting block. You have this Muslim Brotherhood that's spreading across even in our own country. It was being mm-hmm. invited into the White House and our even some advisors on our Homeland Security.
Yeah.
We're removing all forms of radical Islam. Islam is any kind of enemy of America, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, from our law enforcement library. And now, according to Kamal Saleem, over 500,000 potential radical jihadists has come over our borders that's sleeping around all over the place. And, of course, that's what Rick Joyner talked about in our previous program. Yeah. That he believes they're just sitting around waiting to be activated in the context of that. And it's like, we need to wake up.
Mm.
Well, you know, we need to wake up. And speaking of that, when you look at Texas, I mean, of all the places, you know, Texas is talking about having a Sharia court, right?
Yes.
Talk to us about
CBN
Northern Texas.
CBN is reporting this, that a group of Muslims in Northern Texas has created what may be the first Sharia law system in the United States. And it's a tribunal. This is in Irving, Texas. When you think about this, I mean, you're looking at Sharia law. Many don't know, but this is basically what they follow the Quran. This is they follow what Muhammad's teachings, and a lot of it is oppressive towards women. And you were just talking about this in the beginning of the hour about
it's oppressive towards anybody that does not even go to
non-Muslims is like
yeah, Muslims, non-Muslims. Gay, straight, any race.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just tied the man's hands in, I believe it was Iran, because he was gay, and they threw him off of a building to kill him.
Yes.
His hands tied.
Yes.
That's not God.
No.
That's not what God does. You know, God is a God that forgives. God is a God that redeems. God is a God that allows us to make our decisions and suffer consequences in those decisions, but he doesn't. That's not the God that we serve.
So they're wanting to bring this law in so that they can have their own, you know, their own people and their own set of laws to settle these cases. And the Center for Security Policy, they came out with a case study, 50 appellate case studies in America. The people are denying that this is actually taking place. 50 case studies. We're going to make sure this is related for you. It's a 635-page document that lists in detail what has happened in the court system. And when someone comes to the United States to become a citizen, you have to pledge an oath. We have the oath for you. I'd like to read it for you so that you know what actually happens. But you want to become a citizen of the United States, you're pledging this oath, and this is what it says. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore have been subjected or citizen. That I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant services in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation and purpose and evasion. So help me God.
So it's totally in a violation of what's going on. I just want to pray with you right now that those that are watching us, let's just pray together and let's just ask the Lord to bless you and bless America. Father God, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, for mercy on our nation. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless our listeners and our viewers, Father God, that you would meet their needs, Father God, that you would put your angels around them, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would awake our nation, Father God, to what you've established here, a government by the people and for the people, Father God. Begin to put a hunger in the heart of your people for your word and a desire to understand the Constitution you allowed us to have, Father God. Lord, forgive us where we've fallen short. Forgive us for our sins. Dear God, save America. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.